Shakespeare's reputation as the greatest literary figure of all time rarely comes into question. Gary Taylor's new book, Reinventing Shakespeare, puts the bard's reputation on the line. Taylor himself is a Shakespeare scholar who has furthered the accessibility of Shakespeare's work. Taylor's Shakespearean books stack up more than 1 foot high. He co-edited a new Oxford edition of Shakespeare's complete works and wrote several books of interpretation. Taylor says it's time to investigate Shakespeare's literary supremacy and to see how each succeeding generation has reinvented the man and his works to suit the times. I ask Gary Taylor what kind of reaction he expected from other Shakespeare scholars if he questions Shakespeare's reputation.
Well, I knew that a lot of my colleagues wouldn't appreciate it very much. This is one of the factors that contributes to the maintenance of a reputation like this. You get a kind of professional inertia because you've got a very large body of people who make a living out of declaring that Shakespeare is enormously important. And those are the people who tend to know most about him, but they're also the people who are perhaps least objective because they have a... I mean, obviously they wouldn't have devoted so much of their time and their lives and their energies to studying this artist if they didn't think very highly of him. And so that those are the people who almost by definition find it most difficult to look objectively at his achievement as against the achievement of other great writers.
Because to challenge his achievement is to challenge the importance of their interpretation.
That's right. And what they would rather do, the kinds of challenging that go on in our profession, and people are always arguing with each other, is to challenge other people's interpretations. But, of course, that doesn't in any way challenge whether the work is worth interpreting in the first place or how important it is that we interpret it by comparison with other writers in English or other writers in other languages who might be equally interesting and important.
You say that the study of Shakespeare has been in turmoil since the 70s. How?
Well, in a lot of different ways. This is, I think, one of those periods when we're moving from one sort of dominant interpretation to another. The turmoil has been created by the rise of feminist criticism, by the rise of Marxist and semiotic criticism, and by major changes in our interpretation of how Shakespeare's texts were created. The acceptance that Shakespeare revised his work, just like other writers and dramatists do, has led to lots of changes in our understanding of just what the bare text is that Shakespeare wrote in the first place, let alone how we interpret it. And there is an agreement on the kind of general principles by which we should interpret works. Feminist and Marxist and semiotic criticism don't just challenge particular interpretations of one play or one line. They challenge the whole way that we interpret any work of literature. So that... this creates a great deal of anxiety and rancor within the profession about how we should go about doing our business.
Teachers and many scholars want us to believe that Shakespeare's insights into character can be relevant in spite of all the changes that have happened through the centuries. Yet a lot of students resist reading Shakespeare because the language is difficult to penetrate because of its, you know, more archaic constructions. A lot of students find him sexist or elitist. How much do you think it's worth updating Shakespeare or changing the language or, you know, reinterpreting Shakespeare to make it more relevant and comprehensible to people today? Do you know what I mean? Do you leave the work alone and say that's the work? If you don't like it, fine. Or do you keep trying to change it so it has some meaning to people in the present?
Well, there are two different ways of approaching the problem. It is a problem, and it's become more and more of a problem. One of the curious things about the history of Shakespeare's reputation is that the very point at which he starts becoming compulsory in schools is the point at which he also becomes less and less part of popular culture.
Mm-hmm.
In the 19th century in America, people used to have performances of Shakespeare in bar rooms and mining camps. That's not the sort of thing that goes on anymore. One way of coping with this is to try to update him and to find, you know, sort of analogies between the plays and contemporary experiences. But another way of dealing with it is simply to say, here's a very great writer and thinker. What aspect of his work do you think is still true, is true of human beings, you know, at all times and places, and what aspects of his work are no longer true, are no longer relevant. I mean, if you want, you know, if you want to read works that are about the present, there are all sorts of good works written in the present about the present. The attraction of Shakespeare, the interest of Shakespeare, is that he is a major figure from the past, and we can learn from him something both about things that are permanent in human nature, but also about things that have changed.
Do you think one of the problems with Shakespeare and with teaching or reading Shakespeare today is all the sanctimony that has surrounded him because of the way he's been canonized over the centuries?
Yes. This is, again, related to the compulsory aspect of it. Shakespeare, in his own time, was regarded as a very good playwright, but plays were regarded with some of the same mixed feelings that people now have about television programs or about Hollywood films. They're enormously popular. They have a great deal of influence on the way people think in our society. A lot of money is spent on them, and they make a lot of money. But they aren't regarded as high culture, for the most part. Or usually only the ones that are boring and that nobody wants to go see are regarded as high culture. But the ones that are popular are regarded with some suspicion by the cultural establishment. And that's the way that Shakespeare was regarded in his own time. So I do think that, people regard Shakespeare too reverently. And this is going to happen when he becomes part of... when he becomes a required part of our culture, the sort of thing that secretaries of state for education say need to be imposed on everybody.
So you don't think Shakespeare should be imposed on students?
I think that it is desirable that they have some exposure to Shakespeare, but it's a question of how much exposure. Anyone who takes an English literature course, for instance, who has some exposure to English literature, you would expect them to read at least one play of Shakespeare and some of the poems. But I don't think that it's more necessary for them to have to have read all of Shakespeare than to have read, say, all of Milton or all of Dickens. There are other important writers, and as long as people who are interested in literature have some exposure to a lot of different writers whom we all agree are important, then people should be able to choose for themselves which ones they find most powerful or the ones that say the most to them. If Shakespeare can't survive because people choose to read him, then you can't legislate cultural permanence. You can't force people to find relevance in Shakespeare if they're actually finding something more important to their own lives in Dickens or Tolstoy or any number of other writers who are out there who are also, you know, geniuses, but who may be more relevant to our times than Shakespeare.
Mm-hmm. You've brought out two volumes of the complete works of Shakespeare. One of the volumes was in the original language and the other is in a more modern language. In what ways do those does the more modern volume have the mark of its time on it? I'm sure you really had to think long and hard about that. But what your edition was going to be like, the edition that you co-edited.
Yes. This is the new edition published by Oxford University Press. It well, one of the things that I was trying to do as I wrote this book is to think about our own edition in terms of it fitting into its own time in the way that everything everybody else was doing was fitting into its own time. I think that, one of the things that makes it characteristic of its time is the very fact that it's attending to language, to semiotics, to all sorts of different verbal, all sorts of different signs beyond just the words themselves. And it's also typical of its time in that it is controversial. It is outrageous in certain ways. We knew when we were working on it that some of the things that we did were going to offend lots of people, putting in two different versions of King Lear, saying that certain of the plays Shakespeare wrote in collaboration with other people, including this poem, Shall I Die, changing the titles of certain plays back from the titles that everyone knows to the titles they had in Shakespeare's own lifetime. So that in its very efforts to get back to the truth about Shakespeare and to give us a new text, it was also upsetting people's ideas about Shakespeare in all sorts of ways. And that very quality of being confrontational and upsetting is very much characteristic of the literary criticism and debate of the 1970s and 1980s.
Is one of the conclusions we should draw by your book, Reinventing Shakespeare, that we really shouldn't accept somebody by their reputation. You know what I mean? That we really
That's
have
right.
to read and rediscover somebody's work and
don't believe the marketing people. And in
which
the
is
same
in this case some of the scholars.
Yeah, that's right. In the same way that, you know, when you're dealing with commercial products, you should not believe advertisements. You should not fall for all the hype. In the same way, you should be suspicious of the way that Shakespeare has been marketed. And Shakespeare is now all over the world, but so is Coca-Cola. And the fact that they're all over the place does not mean that we should just accept them as being the best that we can do. We should be suspicious. And I think we should be especially suspicious of anything that is anything where we really feel that it's being hyped. And Shakespeare is being hyped in our culture.
Okay, Gary Taylor, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.